We're going to talk about fish wheels today. What do you know about fish wheels? You probably have heard that they are responsible largely for wiping out the massive salmon runs in the Columbia River. Although actually, they're not so much to blame for that as Grand Coulee Dam was. But fish wheels definitely didn't help. But fish wheels are making a comeback now, and it's not what you think. They're actually being used to save fish. I'll tell you all about it in just a minute, but first I better introduce myself. My name is Finn J.D. John. I write a weekly newspaper column that runs in about a dozen newspapers around the state right now. It's called Offbeat Oregon History. You can get all the details about that at offbeatoregon.com, but you're listening to a column from our archives right now. And this is a really old one. This one was first published on November 1st, 2008. I'm going to read it to you now. If you'd like more information about this podcast and the column that it's part of, stay tuned. Fish wheels have a bad reputation, but they may be making a comeback in a different role. For about the last 10,000 years, Native American tribe members have taken big nets to bits of the Columbia River where the water runs fast and used them to scoop out salmon dinners. When the industrialized Europeans came in the mid-1800s, they knew a good thing when they saw it. The Indians caught so much salmon so quickly that some enterprising Europeans quickly figured out that they could make a killing scooping out fish, canning them up, and selling them cheap. But, not being inclined to stand around on fishing platforms as the sun beat down on them, they mechanized the method. And thus, the fish wheel came to the Columbia. It's sort of like a paddle wheel with baskets on the tips, with a wooden flume built upstream to divert a big cross-section of the river into its path. The current turns the wheel, the baskets scoop out all the fish that are carried through the flume, and the cannery built nearby puts them all into neat little flat cans. Just to give you an idea of how many fish these things scooped out of the river, one of them, built in 1887, about 5 miles north of the Dalles, pulled 418,000 pounds of fish out of the river in 1906 alone. By that time, there were more than 75 others like it lining the shores of the river where it ran fast. Meanwhile, fleets of gill netters based out of little fishing towns near Astoria were also pulling vast numbers of fish out of the lower Columbia, where the water runs slow and deep. Well, maybe not so much slow, but deep, to be processed at canneries down there. Not surprisingly, the operators started noticing the catches dwindling as the early 1900s wore on. But their response was to blame each other for the fading of the fishery. No one yet realized it was actually a collapse they were dealing with, and perhaps it wasn't yet. The two groups, fish wheel operators and gill netters, sponsored competing ballot measures in 1908, one banning fish wheels and the other virtually banning gill netting. Both measures passed, but were blocked from enforcement by the courts. Nice to see some things haven't changed in 100 years, isn't it? By 1926, it was clear the fish were pretty much gone, and the state legislature hastened to slam the barn door shut after the horse by banning the fish wheels. Gill netters soldiered on. A greatly diminished fleet still plies the waters of the lower Columbia, but the catch is relatively paltry. A huge blow was dealt to the already suffering fishery a few years later when Grand Coulee Dam was built without fish ladders, cutting off a lot of fish from their spawning grounds. Today, most of the fish caught in the Columbia are raised in commercial hatcheries. But the fish wheel may be due for a comeback. On the Okanagan River, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife is using fish wheels to count fish, not to can them. The baskets scoop juvenile fish out of the water without snaring or hooking them, and because it all happens so fast, they don't have much chance to hurt themselves flailing around in an underwater net. Once on deck, they can be logged, tagged with a tiny electronic tag, and sent on their way to the ocean, none the worse for wear, or at least not much worse. It's an interesting new positive role for an old technology that many people think is responsible for a goodly share of the collapse of the biggest salmon fishery on the West Coast. That's the end of today's column. If you're listening to it for the first time, here's some information about this podcast and about Offbeat Oregon History, the newspaper column it's part of. Offbeat Oregon History tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about, the ones everyone has forgotten. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghai'd sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. It's a weekly column, and I've been writing it since 2008. So right now there are about 175 published episodes in the kitty. So every morning I pull one of those episodes up and put it out on the daily RSS feeds, one in text and pictures for your newsreader, and the other one in audio only for your podcatcher, also served up through iTunes. You can read any archive column and subscribe to either daily feed by going to the website at offbeatoregon.com. Both feeds are optimized for smartphone or iPhone use, but they work great on a tablet, netbook, or computer as well. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and do drop me a line if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.